the internet.
How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind. A moment where we can sit back, hang out, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take some of those talking points and go out and share them, or, you know, sit there and ponder on them, see where they take us. Now, lately, I don't feel I've necessarily seeked it out, but there seems to have been a theme in a handful of things that I've been watching lately. And not too long ago, I finished the HBO series Chernobyl. And the other night, I've watched Enemy at the Gates, which is a story of a Russian sniper. And I'm getting ready to re-listen to Dan Carlin's series Ghosts of the Ostfront, which deals with World War II from the Russian perspective. And, you know, sitting here, 2019, looking back at the Soviet Union, Soviet Russia, and just being mind-boggled on that history, that upbringing, the mentality of the people back then. I don't want to be too stereotypical, but I look at Russia today and I figure that's a tough love situation, an environment to raise you, be raised in. There's always been something kind of special about how Russians are raised. Again, from my seat of privilege, I guess, here in the United States. Now, here in the United States, something like the draft is illegal. That was, when was that overturned? Vietnam era or just after? And you look at these stories of the Soviet Union, you know, Chernobyl, I guess, would be the most recognizable one, the chance for that most people would have seen, most recent, although the other two, Enemy at the Gates again, and 2001 movie, and then the Dan Carlin Ghost to the Ostfront, both accessible. But under Chernobyl, the Russian nuclear plant explosion that happened. And Russia was trying to keep it under wraps on how much damage had actually been done. And they brought in person after person after person, more or less, you know, under the guise or under the force of the state saying, the state owns you. You belong to the state, or this is your civic duty to help us. And you had a lot of people get sick of radiation poisoning and stuff like that. Or we go back to World War II, which was Enemy at the Gates, and which coincides with the Ghost of the Ostfront. And you had people being forced in. Stalin killed more like 20 million people or something along those lines as a Russian or Soviet force in World War II. You were forced to the front lines. One person carried the gun, the other person carried the ammo, and if one of you died, the other was supposed to pick up the weapon and continue fighting. But also, under the Soviet rule of World War II, if you decided to turn and run, there was another soldier waiting at the lines to shoot you if you turned around. That's pretty heavy to think about today, but I mean, what is our debt to the state? I mean, you look at World War II, and you had the Germans going buck wild, the Nazis, not the Germans, going buck wild to take over everything, out to cleanse the planet in their name, in their vision. And you have people that are willing to stand up and fight for the state and protect the liberties. But then what about the people who just want to sit there and live and that you have to force them? Where does that bring us here in present day first world countries? Now we can sit here and look at the global police state going in and taking out ISIS and Al-Qaeda and whoever, and going in and America's going to stop the bad guy. Nina, you can look at that. But I want to talk about more along the lines of us, me, sitting here, who hasn't chipped in for his military service. Over in Israel, everyone is required to do, is it 2 or 4 years of military service as part of your debt to the state? I think there's good things and bad things about that, but sitting here again, I don't see how that's necessarily a bad issue, especially when your country is surrounded by people who don't really appreciate you. But again, here in America, what is our debt? What do we owe the state? What does the state provide for us as citizens? In the grand scheme of things, we've got, granted, we have inner city problems and inner, you know, neighborhood problems, but we got roads, we got electricity, we got internet, we got cars, we've got houses, we've got some sort of funding available for us, we've got consistent public schools, we got a bevy of colleges, we have air travel and travel internationally, lots of places. Our American citizenship stands well enough between governments. When you get arrested overseas, you can, I would believe, have a fighting chance. Whereas if you were part of another country overseas and you broke a law, you might have a little bit more problem. Granted, that doesn't go for everywhere. But what do we here in the United States, what happens when we're called to action? You know, I don't see necessarily a Chernobyl event where we have to hide it and the government's going to forcibly take people, force them against their will to go clean up a mess, especially not in this day of internet, social media. I don't foresee necessarily, but it's not definitely out of the question. I don't foresee an invasion on our lands. I don't foresee Mexico or Canada necessarily teaming up with anybody to invade us. Now, rocket launches are a different thing, but then you still have to enter the country on foot to take it over, supposedly. But are we sitting here in such a cushioned lifestyle that we, as civilians, aren't necessarily called to the forefront of the battle? We're here to keep the American economy running, keep the first world economy running through the means of Wall Street and big banking and credit cards. We're here to keep on buying, here to keep the international markets chugging along because we've outsourced so much of our work that if we stop buying things, then other countries quit making money, and then a nice little teetering domino effect that happens globally. We have people that, you know, they'll call us debt slaves. And again, we look at the U.S. debt clock, and yet we're here. We're still here. We're still plugging along, putting money in, taking money out, keeping it cycling. So again, maybe, you know, we as American citizens can sit there and go support, go protest legally, such as with the Dakota Access Pipeline, or we can go down and help with oil spills with ExxonMobil or the BP one down in the Gulf. I'm sure if we were to have another similar Fukushima kind of situation, maybe there'd be a handful of people that would volunteer to go help and help clean up. There'd be other people angry and protesting, but that would be us as being good neighbors to go forward and, again, keep our home clean. Now, what about, I don't want to get too deep into this, but I want to kind of tie it in. What about the concept of no nations, no borders? We can look at ourselves online. Online is the official no nations, no borders up until you end up in a place that censors your internet. That's not my choice. But what will a no nations, no borders situation offer in terms of protection? Government is there to offer protection. It's there to offer an economy, social services, in a sense. Granted, no, I'm, again, just a high school diploma here. Not fully educated. I'm just here to shoot ideas. But under no nations, no borders, is there a head honcho? Is there a overruling? Maybe that's not the right word, but one general rule for all, one global government to run it. What's your debt to that entity then? what do you have to do when the time calls? Do you have to pay your taxes, or do you have to go clean up a corporation's oil spill? Do you have to be forcibly put onto a rocket ship to go blow up an asteroid, Deep Impact style, or whatever, or the Armageddon movie, or whatever the one that was? You know, just not doom and gloom here. Just ideas, right? Just talking points, just kind of, you know, what's going on? Where are we going? How does it all play out? Just stuff to think about. No wrong answers. Probably no right ones for me. But if you got something to say about it, if you got some input, you can get in contact with me. BILLYBON, the number 3S. At Billy Bones on Twitter. Or you go to billybones.com. There's an email link. And there's a link to the Discord server. You can hit me up. You send me some questions or comments. Love mail or hate mail. Tell me what I got right. Tell me what I got wrong. Maybe you got some ideas on what debt we do owe. But I hope you've enjoyed it. If you found any value out of this, starting off on the value for value model, and the current value I'll accept is just a share. Just get it out there. But I'll talk to you all next week. I love you guys. We'll be right back.